What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Why do bees make great poets? Because they can wax lyrically. What's the best football play on Tatooine? Jabba the Hutt Hutt.
Hike!
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
From the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network Studios, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, and now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve, and my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner, gives me street cred, the wacko alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And here's my wife, Tacy. Hello, Tacy.
What's up?
My partner in all things. It's 420, man. This is a show for people who've never listened to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, respiratory therapist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, massage therapist, proctologist.
Oh, enough.
Or whatever.
Enough.
Yes, thank you. It is enough. I'm not adding any more to the opening. So, hello.
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 Don't forget stuff.drsteve.com, stuff.drsteve.com for all of your online shopping needs. You can scroll down and find the Rode robot guitar tuner for anyone that is in your family or friends that have a stringed instrument, like a guitar, bass, or a mandolin even. You can get them a Rode guitar tuner. It's one of the coolest things you'll ever get them, and they're not that expensive. So that's cool. But there's all kinds of other crap you can get, including a Navage and other things. So just check out stuff.drsteve.com. And if you go there and click through to Amazon, just do your regular shopping, it really helps us out. And tweakedaudio.com, I don't even know if, I know the code still works. Offer code FLUID will get you 1/3 off of your order. That's a huge discount. So go to tweakedaudio.com for the best earbuds and, on the internet for the price and the best customer service you'll ever find anywhere, and use offer code FLUID, F-L-U-I-D.
Fluid.
And then simplyherbals.net, Dr. Scott's website. That's simplyherbals.net with his CBD peppermint nasal spray, which is quite excellent accent. Mm-hmm. I've been using it every night.
Yeah, me too.
And then I'm doing Cameo, and they're 25% off right now, which means that we get nothing. But I just like doing them. It's fun. I did one today while I was driving back from the hospital, and I showed him my ham radio and said, this isn't, you know, too weird or nerdy or anything. And, you know, it's just fun. I like doing it. And you get a fluid and a secretion and all that stuff by the end of it. So just go to Cameo and search for Dr. Steve Weird Medicine, or just Weird Medicine. I think it'll come up. And then most importantly, check out our Patreon web, or our Patreon show. It's completely different from this show. It's mostly Tacy and me, but we have guests from time to time. And when we have a celebrity guest, they come into the exam room. And they can then, it's sort of a reverse interview show where they ask us questions. It's fun. And we get some shit out of them too, and we, you know, but it's, you know, it's fun. It's fun. So check it out, patreon.com/weirdmedicine. And this week we're doing Mr. James Norton. What are you putting in your eye? CBD,
no.
Man. Is it cannabis, man?
I was hoping I had something for my red eyes, but I guess I'm out.
All right. Let's see if Tacy's camera's working. I didn't even set it up. I think it's working. There you are. Hi, Tacy.
Oh, so she's a party.
We have a bunch of people in the chat room. You know, people, when we record this thing, we record usually on Wednesday at around 3:30, and we put it out on Twitter. Follow us at Weird Medicine or the Weird Medicine Facebook page. I'll put an announcement there. And you can just click on it and come hang out. We got an excellent group of people hanging out. I do not see the wrench next to your name, though, Dr. Scott. Are you able to...
I don't look like I have the ability yet to kick people out, but
well, we won't have to kick anybody out, but I don't know what happened there. Are you logged in under a different thing? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't
this
matter.
Is boring to everybody.
Hey,
but so, I do want to say hello to Richard and Sean, and now it sounds like Romper Room, and I see Logan Field, and I see
Logan
Kim.
Phil's talking about having palm olive oil in his mouth, I guess.
I definitely want you to have the capability to kick people out.
Yeah, he had it. Definitely. I gave it to him, and he fucked it up. But anyway, do you know did I do something? I don't know. I probably did. I'm operating on zero sleep, so I'm a little punchy. But do you know why palm olive was called palm olive?
Nope.
Because it was made, is not rocket science. It was made from palm oil and olive oil.
Yeah, but see, if I'd have said that and been wrong, you'd have been like, "You're a dumb fucker. What are you thinking, you idiot? What'd you do? Just think you're some smart guy."
Don't try to be funny. But it was.
This ain't my first rodeo.
It was palm oil and olive oil, and the soap is made through the process of saponification. I'll give myself one of
those. Self a bill.
That's a good bill.
Yeah, saponification is when you take oils, and which basically are just hydrocarbons with, you know, and they are hydrophobic. Mm-hmm. That's why if you put water in olive oil, it'll float to the top,
mm-hmm.
right?
Phobic, hydro.
It's hydrophobic.
Like
it's afraid it. of water. That's right. So you really can't use oil very well to clean things because it's just oily. And you're trying to get oil off of your skin, not put more oil on it. Now, back in ancient Egypt, the way I understand they cleaned themselves was they mixed olive oil and very fine sand, scrubbed it in, and then they would scrape it off with a knife.
Oh, wow.
And I bet it made your skin nice and smooth.
Nice way to exfoliate. I mean,
Let's do it to him. I'd like to.
I'll sit on him.
You know what?
If you'll scrape him.
I would absolutely do that.
We'll scrape him off.
Yeah.
We have to do a full bath, the whole thing. With, the whole body thing. Maybe Chanda's got some friend who's, you know, does sort of street massage therapy that would be willing to do the scraping.
Probably.
We'll have to have somebody nair his butt first because the hair will get all
mad. Listen, he's being funny, but don't nair your ass. Remember, we were going to do the ass crack challenge a million years ago, which you can hear on our Patreon. You can't hear it anywhere else. It's patreon.com/weirdmedicine. And we were going to do three things. We were going to nair our ass crack, and P.A. John was going to do that. And then double vasectomy turd shaved his ass crack, and then I got my ass crack waxed. Well, thank God I did some research, because I always did. Whenever O&A had something, they would call me, should E-Rock do the cinnamon challenge? And I would say, no, it's dangerous. And, of course, he would do it anyway. But at least I would have said my piece. Well, I looked this up, and if you put Nair in your, you know, near your rectum, you will burn it up. Don't do that. That stuff, it's calcium. Calcium hydroxide is a very powerful base. And it will eat up hair follicles. Most skin can tolerate it, but not anything near the genitalia. So don't do that.
Don't do it.
Don't do what Dr. Scott just told you to do.
That's right.
So anyway, what we found from that, by the way, was what we expected. A double vasectomy turd was a master barber, and he said if you shave hair, you make a square surface, well, like square edges to the hair that's left behind, and it will cause stubble. That's what causes stubble. So when it grows out a little bit, it's like, and it drives you crazy. So if you ever shave your ass crack, you will have to shave it for the rest of your life,
forever,
unless you can deal with about a week of stubble in your ass where it feels like there's 60 grit sandpaper in your ass crack, which is very uncomfortable. But if you wax it, this is what happens. You pull out all the hair with the follicle and everything, and it regenerates. When it regenerates, the hair that grows back is tapered, because when the follicle starts producing hair after it's been, you know, the hair's been yanked out, it's very small. It's infinitesimally small. It gets larger and larger until it reaches the circumference of the hair follicle. So it's tapered. And tapered hairs, when they come out, they don't irritate you the way that squared off ones do that have been shaved. So that was an interesting fun fact phenomenon. So if you only want to do it once, let's say you're going to be in a movie or something, or you're going to have a colonoscopy and you don't want people seeing your giant hairy ass crack, you could on the giant 6-foot flat screen, then you could have it waxed and then not do it again, but don't shave it unless you can deal with the stubble. All right? And don't use Nair under any circumstances. Now, I've used Nair on my back before, because Stacey doesn't like body hair, and so she helped. Well, I wouldn't bother with it otherwise. My concept of male virility was Sean Connery in Dr. No, and when he took off, had that bathing suit, he had all this hair on his chest. So I thought, well, boy, when I have chest hair, women are really going to dig that. And Stacey's like, ugh.
I think it used to be a thing, right?
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Just like guys used to like
big
bushes,
boobs. Oh yeah, it's weird.
And now
they don't like that anymore. Oh no, yes, you're right. I don't know that guys liked bushes. It was just that they didn't know that there was any choice to not have that.
Well, maybe it's the same with men.
Yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? That nobody back in the day shaved their bush, so they had these giant, hairy bushes. And some people still have them. We went to Dollywood, Splash Country.
Oh, no.
Tell the story,
Tase. She had a bathing suit, a one-piece bathing suit on, which, by the way, you cannot do at Dollywood.
Yeah.
And
what do you
her
mean?
Hair was... You're not supposed to wear a bathing suit to Dollywood.
What? Dollywood Splash Country. This was
no,
Splash Country.
No, it wasn't. Mm-mm. This was in Dollywood.
Well, the one I'm thinking of was. Okay, all
on,
right.
On, I know where you're thinking of.
Yeah.
And it's Dollywood.
Okay.
It was when we were on the ride that goes up and then goes around in the water, and then you splash.
Okay.
Remember we were waiting
in
line?
Yes. You are absolutely
and she
right.
had a...
You're give right. yourself a bill!
What do you call it? A fanny pack on and a bathing suit.
Yes.
And her crotch hair ran down to her knees.
Yep.
And it stuck out so far that, like when you put cloth over something that sticks out, how it kind of pokes through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was poking through.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It was not an attractive look.
That's a tough look.
And it's hard to not look at that.
Yeah, how can you not when you've got somebody who's got a beard in the wrong place?
When you're in line with them, for a little bit of time.
It's hard not to look.
You would be surprised how...
And you're wondering if it smells. And it's a lot of things go through your head when this happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the bathing suit was way too small for her. And all kinds of... There was just lots of wrong there.
Yeah, lots of wrong.
So, and we told last week about the lady with the ass crack hair that went down to her knees at Hedonism.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
What? Was that on
Patreon?
Oh, maybe that was Patreon.
Yeah, that was gorgeous.
Yes. We didn't witness this, but friends of ours did. They were at Hedonism, and this absolutely gorgeous, you know, Chardet class, beautiful woman gets out of the pool completely naked, and she had ass crack hair that was plastered to, you know, her legs because she'd just gotten out of the pool that went down to her knees.
Oh, goodness.
So that's not a good look either.
Oh, goodness.
That's what the Brazilian wax is for. And it makes your flatus sound different, too. I will say that. That's the fun part. That if you get your ass crack waxed and then you pass gas, it will sound different because it's two pieces of skin flapping together rapidly rather than two pieces of skin matted with disgusting ass crack hair. Mm. Right?
Yep.
Yeah?
That's horrendous.
Good talk.
Good
so
talk.
So anyway.
We're off to a rousing start.
Where were we?
I don't know.
What are we talking about?
I don't think we were anywhere, Steve.
No, were we not?
Sorry, Scott.
No.
Okay.
Oh, God, Logan.
Oh, you know what?
It wasn't Twitty City, was it?
No, Twitty City. It used to. No. There used to be
Silver 20, Dollar City.
It was Silver
City.
Dollar City.
There used to be Twitty City.
It might have been before.
Well, it was Silver Dollar City.
Was it?
And no, there was a Twitty City in Nashville.
Okay. Oh. And then it became Dollywood. And people, you would think Dollywood would be crappy. People have never been there. When I lived in Tennessee, and I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's just painted concrete and just sort of phony, crappy stuff. It's really awesome.
It's nice.
It will exceed your expectations if you ever go there. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
And let us give everybody a tip, Tace. What's the best day to go to Dollywood?
The day it's open after Labor Day.
Absolutely.
You give yourself a bill.
That is exactly right. I remember going if you don't have kids that have to be in school, the day after Labor Day, there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. And I remember going on the flume ride, which, you know, takes you up and then you go down the waterfall and then it takes you around this little diorama, you know, where somebody's being eaten by a bear. Stupid crap like that. But I remember getting up there and they go, you want to go again?
Yep.
And we go, hell yeah, and you just go again. Then you get up there again, you want to go again? Hell yeah. Till you get sick of it. We did Tennessee Tornado that way, too. And then about the fifth time, I was like, hell no, I don't want to go again.
Let me off this.
Oh, I'm going to vomit.
Vomit.
As we say in Tennessee.
Well, hey, you want to branch off of your ass crack talk? To
Yes. And we got to talk about 420 because that's today. That's actually the reason that...
We're all here.
Yeah. That we're all here.
Hey, Richard
we're
Kish.
We're all halfway here.
Hey, Kish is talking. Yes, we're halfway here. Kish is talking about, I think he's asking for a friend, of course.
Okay.
We're talking about butt cracks. What would cause a chronically itchy butthole?
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good question.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So just having.
Worms.
Well, worms is one.
Yeah, of course.
And pinworms is a big one for kids when they're just constantly digging in their ass. And so there's a lot of myths about that. They do tend to be more attainable at night because the kids aren't running around. Well, that you can get them for get a sample of them. So what you do is when the kid goes to bed, you let them sleep for a while, and then you go in and you have this little paddle that has tape on, you know, it's got double-sided tape on it, and you just apply it to the area around, you know, in their ass crack around the anus, and then when you do that, then you put it in a little envelope, they look at it under the microscope, and if it has
worms
in there,
pinworms,
they give you medication that goes away.
Did we do that?
We never had to do that.
No, we did not.
Mm-hmm. So we had a lice scare once.
Yes.
That was fun. I don't think our kids actually had lice, but we had to go through the whole thing, and we were so paranoid. We almost burned everything.
I remember this.
That was the day before we left for Hawaii.
That's right.
That's why
we were so paranoid.
My God.
You have such a better memory about that kind of stuff than I do.
Getting on a plane with lice.
Traumatic.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, hey,
I would have gone anyway.
We were preparing. We're 20 minutes out from landing in Hawaii's Hilo. And by the way, there is
you've all been
a possibility that you've all been exposed to head lice. So.
Right.
Welcome to Hawaii.
Would you rather have head lice in Hawaii or COVID in Hawaii? So it's an interesting one.
I think I'll take head lice.
So this, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, the itchy butt.
Oh, yeah, itchy butt.
Yeah, that's kind of good.
Let's finish that. So pinworms, you got that. And then the most common thing, I mean, it's just called proctitis, where you have inflammation of the rectum. It can be caused by a bunch of different things, including autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. So if you have chronically itchy butt, you want to get it looked at. But there, I think the most common cause for it is using paper to wipe your ass.
Especially really dry paper.
We have talked about this going way back to the first show, that if you think about it, if you have a bare rug, squirt some Vaseline on it and then try to wipe it off with a piece of newspaper. Good luck.
Yeah.
And when you have a really hairy ass crack, and if you're streaking your underwear, the reason is you can't complete.
Come on, Skid Mark, what's the matter?
You can't completely clean your ass with paper. And Tacy's mom, she's like, well, I use a roll of toilet paper a day. And I'm like, Joanne, what the hell? And she's going, well, I want to be clean. It's like, you're not clean. That's not cleaning yourself. Wiping just, you know, oily, you know, just, you know, stercobilinogen laden, you know, waste products with a piece of paper off of skin that's got hair embedded in it. You can't do it. So the greatest thing in the world, Taste.
Drum roll.
What's it called?
Bidet.
Yes.
I know what she's going to say.
And then also, I have a friend who cannot go anywhere without the wipes, the wet wipes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So wet wipes are great if you don't have a bidet around, but you can get a Tushy bidet for under $100. We installed ours, knock on wood, right at the beginning of the pandemic when we couldn't get toilet paper, if you remember.
Mm-hmm. You still need toilet paper to pat it dry.
You need a little bit just to pat, but you don't need. And I tell you, I hate it when we go somewhere. If we go on vacation and I don't have my bidet, I'm not as happy as I am when I'm at home.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
There's something about the warm really wash of your.
It doesn't even have. Ours isn't warm. Ours doesn't warm it. It's just regular ambient temperature water. I don't care. Once you get used to it, it feels great. And you could just sit there and, hell, read the newspaper and drip dry and not use toilet paper if you wanted to, and just put your underwear on and never touch your ass.
Disgusting. Do you both take your phone into the toilet?
I don't
you
take
do,
my
don't
phone,
you?
Not my phone.
Oh, I do, no. Yeah, for sure.
No, I take my iPad, though.
See, that's just... That's
well, I read.
Oh, yeah, no. I read, too.
And I look at stuff, and I listen to who are these podcasts. My thing is, Sunday, it starts, but he usually puts it up late, and then Monday morning, instead of listening to horrible news, I play, you know, 15, 20 minutes of who are these podcasts. It's a two-hour podcast.
Right,
I can get through Thursday, and then I listen to the creep-off, and I'm ready to go. And I'm happy. I'm not listening to depressing, horrible news.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. So there you go. But yes, my iPad goes with me into the bathroom.
Well,
That's poop particles right there.
Your poop particles.
Not on my phone.
True. I wash my iPad, but just when the screen gets greasy.
Pee, probably. You probably pee on it.
All right. Jesus Christ. All right.
I love it.
Thank you, Tacy, for...
You're welcome.
Now every time I go into the bathroom with my iPad, that's what I'm going to think
about. It's disgusting.
Well, you know what I don't do, and I've seen people do this, is they take their to-go thing from the restaurant and they go into the bathroom to wash their hands.
Oh, that's so hard. But what if you're by yourself?
I know.
You can't leave.
What do you do? You've done this.
No. No. Oh, you know what's disgusting is I saw a meme of this guy who carries, what do you call that takeout that we do all the time?
What, Chinese takeout? DoorDash?
DoorDash. Mm-hmm. He had a DoorDash or one of those Uber Eats bag on the floor, and he was in the toilet.
Man,
so
you are one pathetic loser.
Picked up food and went and took a potty.
Now, listen, we got Kim Chickens here. She's the only one that's got any damn sense. She says we should put our devices in a Ziploc bag before we go to the toilet.
Just like we do when we go to the beach. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That takes too much work, Kim.
Yeah. I'm not doing that.
No, that's too much work.
Sorry, Kim. It's a great idea. I'm just not doing
great
it.
Great idea. I mean, but then...
But you know what I do?
Then I'd have to cover my toothbrush, too.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Of all the feces floating through the air. Your toothbrush doesn't sit next to your toilet, does
it? It's in there, though.
It's all over, yeah.
Oh, damn, no.
I know.
Because I do close the lid to the toilet when I flush it.
Of course.
Because I read that... study that showed that when you flush it, you're just spewing particles of fecal matter and stuff all over your bathroom. I wonder how far it goes. God, it's in your toothbrush. Well, you know what? Oh, yeah. We're used to it.
Yeah. If you're not used to that by now, you're...
Yeah. I mean, our bodies are used to a little bit of fecal coliforms getting into our... Tasty. Are you brushing your teeth with feces, Tase?
You know, and I did hear those air... blow dryer things, like the Dysons, like the really good ones.
You mean for drying your hands?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Full of poop in those two.
Yeah. So we're saying Dyson as a generic term for all air things.
Yeah. As in, I meant when I said that, the good ones, you know? All right, not the crappy ones McDonald's has.
Oh, God. that's Tasty for everybody. Thanks, Tasty. So much for them being a sponsor for Weird Medicine, I guess.
The opinions expressed by Tasty on the show do not reflect. Yeah,
no, anyway. Don't reflect all of the losers. All right.
Anybody who's been there knows it's true. They even know it's true.
We better do something. So, Scott, you're a hippie. Where did 420 come from? Why is April 20th considered international, you know, Doobie Day?
So allegedly, according to the History Channel, I did look this up just in case, but there were a group of five California teens that used to meet and hang out at their school in San Rafael, California.
Okay.
And it's a nickname, their spot, and they called themselves the Waldos.
Okay.
And they would meet at 420. And I guess that's where the whole thing started, because, you know, there's been, and they're actually thinking about the two remaining members of the Waldos that are remaining anonymous are thinking about doing a little documentary on how this all started.
Really?
Yep. So it started in California, and of course they became friends with the Grateful Dead.
What?
And
for real?
Yeah, for real. Yep. Sure did. They met Phil Lesh, of course, the fabulous bassist. Reminds me of Dr. Steve kind of.
Shit.
And yeah, that's where it all starts. So California, back in the good old days. It was funny. They said he used to smoke pot, get high, and drive around and look for this plant. Look for a special plant. Yeah, some Coast Guard guy.
I'm on the History Channel. So I was thinking, well, Scott's fallen prey to some. No, I just thought you'd fallen prey to something. But this is actually on the History Channel. Yeah. It says they learned of a Coast Guard member who had planted a cannabis plant, could no longer tend to the crop. What, one plant? Provided with a treasure map, some say by the plant's owner himself, supposedly leading to the abandoned product. The group would meet at the Louis Pasteur statue outside their high school once a week at 4:20 p.m.
Yep.
And that was, they were all athletes. They'd pile into a car, smoke some pot, scour the nearby Point Reyes forest for the elusive free herb. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Isn't that cool?
It was just, they're basically tilting at windmills, but it sounds like they had a good time, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
They never did score the free bud, man. But perhaps they stumbled on something more lasting. The term 420 was coined. Isn't it crazy?
Pretty funny.
How something, you know, just these five kids, and now everybody, you know, even our son, we used to set, and our son is drug-free, but he thinks it's hilarious to set his alarm at 4:20 and then do the dab at 4:20 just for the hell of it.
All of his friends do.
Yeah, and they're all drug-free,
too. And yet we think they're drug-free.
Well, I've been around the block. I think I can spot that stuff. And, you know, maybe I'm just being, you know, a Pollyanna, but I was with them for a whole weekend. Of course, you can not do pot all weekend. But I just don't get that vibe from them.
Yeah.
But they all love to dab at 420. They think it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonder what they're doing today.
Yeah.
Well, remember, the good old days of smoking pot, but now, hell, it's in so many different
forms. Ooh, it's 10 minutes till 420.
Oh, good.
What should we do? Should we have a countdown? No.
No.
Stupid.
Hey, but, there's a lot of other forms of ways to consume than smoking. Because, it used to be somebody smokes some pot to come walk in, they smell like weed.
Yeah.
Now, I mean.
Or you walk into your Bible class at Episcopal High School, or someplace like that. I'm just throwing one out of there in Baton Rouge. And you drop your pen and you try to pick it up and then you drop it again because you're uncoordinated and you drop it about five times trying to pick it up and then you start laughing uncontrollably. Or that could happen. I'm just throwing something out random.
Who knows?
That could have maybe happened back then.
Happened somewhere.
In 1973.
The year I was born.
Oh, yay.
God.
Yay.
Don't rub it in.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, don't rub it in. There we go.
Okay,
that's
so,
hilarious.
Yeah, so things are way different. Back then, I mean, a nickel bag was called a nickel bag because it was $5.
Mm-hmm.
And a dime bag was a dime bag because it was $1 or $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing about people meeting another friend in an alley near the school and exchanging $10 for a dime bag and then telling the friend who that person grew up with, "Dude, you don't know me." So stupid.
You don't know me.
So, it was always my wish, because I went through the 60s,
mm-hmm.
and I saw John Sinclair incarcerated for his political views, but because he had two joints, that's what they could put him up for. I went to the Free John Sinclair concerts in Ann Arbor and all that stuff. I always wanted to, it was on my bucket list to be able to buy pot legally. And I finally had that opportunity last year in Chicago, because in Chicago you just walk in.
Yep.
And you just buy whatever you want.
Yep.
It went up to a certain limit.
Yeah.
But it was way more than I would ever need.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got, she said, "Well, the concierge in there."
I think they're called bud tenders.
Well, it depends on where you are.
Colorado, they're called bud tenders.
Okay, the bud tender came and said, "Well, what do you want?" I said, "I remember laughing my ass off with my friends, and I'd like to recreate that." She said, "Oh, we'll get this." And then, so I took, I got it back to my hotel, and at 2 in the morning, I've told this story before, but maybe not everybody's heard it. 2 in the morning, I take this gummy, and I didn't do any laughing. When it kicked in, I was just paranoid to hell. And I remembered, oh, shit, this is why I stopped doing this stuff a million years ago, if I ever did do it, allegedly. And because I would get paranoid. And I was like, oh, my God, I've given everybody COVID. Maybe they gave me COVID. How am I going to get home? I'm going to have to cancel my flight. And my mind is racing. And then I hear... it had to have been like some like a pipe that was clanking
water thing. Yeah.
But it sounded to me like someone was playing disco music underneath me at like 6 in the morning, which of course they weren't. This is a nice hotel. There's nobody blaring disco music at 6 in the morning. And I was like, fuck this. And I sealed it all up and I gave it to one of the comedians at the event.
Yep. That is hilarious.
Who we name every show at the very end of the show. The podcast. But anyway, so that was that. But then I realized that it was the sativa that was in there that does it. And, but anyway. So, but that was on my bucket list, and I really wanted to do that because the world has just changed.
Yeah.
From people sneaking around. And I really do believe it needs to be legal, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
When it's legal, you can control it, and I have all kinds of patients who come in, and they're doing pot, which I have no problem with, particularly cancer patients.
Yes, yes.
I have no problem with them doing pot because it happens to be illegal. I can't prescribe it, and I can't say, but I can just say I'm not going to do anything if there's pot in there. Mm-hmm. But they'll also have methamphetamine or sometimes fentanyl in their urine drug screen in low doses. And what's happening is they're getting pot off the street that's been laced with other shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And instead of having strains, it's like, well, this one will make you sleepy, man. And, you know, at a pot dispensary, they have different strains and they know what it is.
Yep.
In this, they want to make you sleepy. They just throw fentanyl in it.
And that's now so scary.
Now your drug screen is effed up and it's putting you at risk. So it needs to be fucking legal.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yep. This pisses me off. It needs to be legal so that that kind of shit doesn't happen to people anymore. And it is, I mean, it's undeniably safer than alcohol. Undeniably has more medicinal properties than alcohol does.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big favor in medical marijuana, if not recreational marijuana. Yep. I mean, why would we deprive a hospice patient with
from anything, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Right, from anything, but something that we know will help them.
Yep.
So that part irritates the ever-loving crap out of me, but I'm glad to see that the world in that regard is changing. Now, if we're going to have these, you know, whatever side of the aisle you're on, I'm not on that side because I'm tend toward being a libertarian in the sense that I'm socially very liberal and I'm a little more conservative when it comes to fiscal stuff. But, you know, with these, we have a Democratic president, a Democratic Congress. This is the time, if they're going to legalize marijuana on a national level, now's the time. What are they doing?
Yep.
You know, I figure that'd be one of the first things they would do is like, man, okay, remember that pot thing? That's not a problem anymore. No. But they're not doing it. So I don't know. I don't understand anything.
I'm with you, too. And, and friends of mine who are police officers will tell you, you know, arresting someone who's smoking pot.
Say, hey,
man, just come on in. Hey, you got some chips in the cupboard. We have some pizza if you want some.
Yeah.
You know, whereas sadly, people who had way too much alcohol or methamphetamines or something like that, I mean, you got to beat them, tase them, hit them in the face.
You don't have to beat them, but I know what you mean.
This is not coming from your old buddy, Dr. Scott. This is coming from my friends. They say, you know, just to get their attention. Yeah, it's a tough thing.
Well, it is. They're much more belligerent, that's for sure.
Shoot you.
Yeah. So, anywho.
Pretty cool. Right.
Yeah, so there's the history of 420. That's very cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I just sound like John.
I did not know that. That's weird stuff. That's weird stuff. It's weird, weird stuff. But I always wondered what the saying meant, where's Waldo? Now we know what that means.
That came from
this,
too?
That's exactly what that's from. Yeah, exactly. That's what
Where's Waldo is from this?
Where's Waldo? Yeah, because if you read on down through
there. I'm going to look up where's Waldo.
It goes down through there, and they talk about Waldo, and they say, where's Waldo? And that was kind of the code
from those
saying,
guys?
Yeah, from saying, and that's what it went through the dead and through everybody else. And so teachers and parents and stuff wouldn't know what Waldo meant, but that's kind of where.
Because in England, it's where's Wally.
Yeah, well, this is where's Waldo. Allegedly, no. I'm just reading this from the.
Okay, I don't know. I've got to see. I'll see that on the History Channel.
I'll bring it up. I'll find it in a minute.
Not on some website.
No, I'll find it before the end of the show. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So there's that. You have anything else? We should probably answer some questions.
Yeah, no.
Probably should.
Anyone in the waiting room have any questions? By the way, the exam room this weekend on our Patreon is going to have the inimitable James Norton. And he and Tacey are going to talk about 90 Day Fiancé, I think. We're going to talk about some other stuff, too. We'll do some medical things, but I really think that the conversation is going to tend toward 90 Day Fiancé. Two lunatics talking about the 90 Day shit show.
Ooh, this season's going to be good. It's going to be so good.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You got anything else?
No.
Anything in the chat room? Nope.
Nope. Not right now.
All right. Well, let's take some phone calls then. Let's see here.
Oh. Hey, old Dr. Steve.
Hey.
Hey, Scott.
What's up, old buddy?
Ladies.
Hello.
Got a two-part question for you.
Okay.
Blood.
Okay.
If you're donating blood, what parts of the blood do they use?
Ah.
Part B is, what part of your blood is the DNA stored in?
Yeah.
So if you're donating blood, are you donating your DNA to somebody else also? or is that separated out because the white blood cells, the red blood cells, one has the DNA, one doesn't, or how's that work?
Yeah, you know, when you do, let's just take a more extreme example. If you do a transplant, organ transplant, that organ has the other person's DNA in it. Mm-hmm. That's why, and it also has all of their friend or foe markers in it too. So your white blood, if you just take a heart and sew it into somebody's chest, the white blood cells are going to go, this thing is not supposed to be here. And then it will go after them and kill it. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, you will get, when you graft white blood cells to someone, let's say you've got somebody that has a bone marrow that won't make white blood cells, and then you give them precursor cells, and then those white blood cells go, what, we're in heaven, everything we see is foreign, right? Yeah. And then they'll attack the person's body. That's called graft versus host disorder, where the graft actually attacks. So the good news is when you transfuse packed red blood cells, although you'll have some white blood cells in there as well, that, and those have DNA in them. White blood cells don't carry DNA at all. They are devoid of DNA in their mature form.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. They're barely living. Mm-hmm. They're mostly vessels to transmit oxygen from the outside to the inside. Mm-hmm. So they go and they get pumped through the capillaries of the lung. They pick up oxygen. Mm-hmm. And the hemoglobin molecule can hang on to oxygen and then dispense it where there's low oxygen. Mm-hmm. And there's no thinking to it. It's just pure physics. Mm-hmm. You know, so in a high oxygen concentration area, they'll pick up oxygen. Low concentration area, they will give up oxygen. And that way, red blood cells take oxygen from the outside and transmit it to the tissues of the body.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're little messengers.
Yeah.
Carrying vessels.
Yeah, they just carry stuff. Cool. So there's really, now there will be a little bit of DNA in there, but it will not be incorporated into your DNA in any way. Mm-hmm. And any cells that have antigens on them that the body doesn't like, those will be attacked and killed. So that's why you have to be careful when you transfuse somebody too, because they've got the, you know, the ABO sort of incompatibilities, and then there's RH issues. Mm-hmm. So and there are other antigens too, other than A, B, and O, but those are the big ones. Hmm. So an O would have no antigens, the A would have the A, and the B have B antigens. And you have to be really careful. You have universal donors and you've got universal acceptors. It's, don't worry about it. It's just, we could do a whole thing on blood typing if we wanted to, and we have in the past.
Sure.
But yeah, so yes, there will be some DNA transmitted. If that blood is just given directly from the one person to the other, but it's in minuscule amounts, and then it's promptly destroyed, broken down into its constituent parts, and then made into your own DNA using tiny little building blocks so that there's no information from that other person transmitted into your genome. Because I'm sure that's what they're worried about.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, excellent question. All right, let's see.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Brandon from Michigan. How are you guys doing?
Hey, good. How are you, man?
Awesome.
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
I've got two quick questions that have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
The first is, what are your thoughts, or I guess this is one of the questions, but what are your thoughts on prolonged opioid use and low testosterone? If my doctor wants to check me.
Is he taking a shower while he's calling in?
Okay. For that, I mean, she thinks because I've been on opioids for 15 years now.
Okay.
And the second is, how rare is...
Okay, he said these two things are unrelated, so let's talk about the first one. Yes, over 50% of men who are on long-term opioids, whether they're abusing them on the street or they're taking them prescribed by a healthcare provider, will have low testosterone. It's a huge number.
Right.
So if you're on chronic opioids and you feel fatigued and have, you know, decreased muscle strength and decreased libido, erectile dysfunction, may not just be the opioids, you may have low testosterone. Studies have shown that if you have low testosterone and it's treated that most of those men will feel better. And
without changing your dose of the medication?
That's right.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Now, you may need to wonder why, you know, if you need to stay on the medication, but that's another issue. I did have somebody email me the other day because I talked about this. If you have low normal testosterone, Tacy and I used to talk about this all the time because she used to, you know, sell a drug that was related to this, that if you have low normal testosterone, a lot of primary care people go, oh, you're normal. It's normal.
You're
fine. It says normal. It's the low is 300 and yours is 301, so you're normal. You're not normal. If you're symptomatic, you're not normal. So low normal testosterone plus this constellation of symptoms needs to be treated. Every urologist I've ever talked to will agree with that. But a lot of the primary care people never send the patient to the urologist because they're saying, well, no, it's normal. So if that ever happens to you, you're listening to this, I still walk the earth. I have an article that I can send you that you can let them read that says low normal testosterone with that's symptomatic does respond to being treated. And the reason is the low normal really is low. It's just that there's so many people with low testosterone that they get included in the calculation when they calculate the normal.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this recursive loop that just keeps driving the normal range lower and lower. And so people that are low normal really probably are just low if we did the thing properly.
Great follow-up question. Does this affect female hormones as well?
I'm not aware of that. It will affect your testosterone. Yeah. I'm not aware of estrogen. That'd be a good thing to look up.
I'll look it up. That's a good question.
Look that up. It's not that I don't care about that. It's that I see the other so often. Right. And I've not seen women saying, well, I've been on opioids all this time. I'm having hot flashes and those kinds of things that would be indicative of a low estrogen level. Why is it testosterone alone? Now you have to ask me that. Now I'm not going to rest until I know the answer.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, yeah. Good. All right.
I probably won't find anything, but I'll still look it up.
I'll find it, by God.
I'll look it up.
All right. This is a good one for Dr. Scott, I think. We may have played this before. Let's see.
Didn't we have another half to the...
Oh, we sure did. Thank you, Tacy. Yep.
Fungal pneumonia. And is it possible to get it by aspirating... Into a ventilator,
is that what he said?
Ugh. Yes.
Yeah. No, you can get fungal pneumonia. Yeah. People who get fungal pneumonia are sicker than hell. Usually people who are vulnerable, and then they get really sick because your body is usually pretty good at fighting off little fungi that are in the air that end up in your lungs. They just kill them. But if they can't, it means your immune system has got a problem. It's had some compromise. And or you're sicker and shit already, and then now on top of that, you get fungemia. He's asking a very specific question. Could this happen by aspirating? I don't know how you would aspirate into a ventilator. The ventilator actually prevents you from aspirating because it's a closed system that doesn't include the GI tract. So for people who don't know, what he's talking about is if you have... and I'm assuming this is endotracheal intubation. So this is where they take the tube, put it down your mouth into your trachea, so your voice box, and that leads directly into the bronchi, the mainstem bronchus, which is the big tube that then divides into two. One goes to one lung, one goes to the other, and that starts dividing like crazy from there.
It's like the trunk of the tree.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, sir. And when you put that in there, you put a balloon that's circumferential in that tube, and you inflate it so that there's no air can get past either from the outside to the inside or vice versa past that balloon. So it's a seal that prevents you also if you vomit, which normally they'll have a tube going into your stomach and either putting food in or taking stomach contents out. Even if you did vomit, as we say in Tennessee, it wouldn't get into your lungs. And that's the definition of aspirating when when something goes into your lungs that's not supposed to be there. So I don't know how that would happen. I'd like to hear more about the circumstances of that before I answered, but yeah, people on the ventilator can get a fungal pneumonia. People are just sick as hell, compromised immune system, that kind of stuff. So Did you find out anything about estrogen and testosterone?
I just found an article. I haven't read through the whole thing yet, but I did find something.
Okay.
I found it PubMed in the bottom. I'll give you the kind of the basic thing. Long-term opioids linked to hypogonadism and the role of testosterone supplement therapy. But it does talk about estrogen and progesterone in here as well. I just hadn't I hadn't got to the bottom of it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm reading as fucking fast as
okay.
I can.
Hydrocodone, oxycodone, and morphine had no impact on estrogen-free levels, while tramadol, fentanyl, and gabapentin significantly reduced levels of free estrogen.
So,
that's interesting. I don't use much tramadol because my patients have much more pain than tramadol is an opioid-like drug that actually has a ceiling dose. Regular opioids have no ceiling dose, but tramadol also has what we call SNRI effects. In other words, it acts as sort of an antidepressant. So, yeah, well, you got depression and pain. Let's just throw some tramadol at it. Mm-hmm. And that's fine unless you're already on an antidepressant and now you've got two drugs that are increasing your serotonin levels. That's a problem. Or if you need to, you have pain that this stuff can't handle, you reach a ceiling dose. So I don't use a lot of it. We do use some fentanyl and we do use gabapentin. And the interesting thing here is it significantly reduced levels of free estrogen, but did that cause a problem for the patient? And I'm not seeing that. Mm-hmm. So just because something reduces levels of something, it could be because it interferes with the lab test, or it could be it's actually causing you to produce less. But is it enough to cause, you know, fragile bones or symptomatic effects like hot flashes and dry vaginas and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good question.
There is a thing called opioid endocrinopathy, which is really what we're talking about. And this is in, I'm looking at one in the Journal of Pain in 2008, in women consuming prescribed sustained action opioids for the control of non-malignant pain. And they said they found profound inhibition of ovarian sex hormone and adrenal androgen production. We already knew that among women chronically consuming sustained action opioids. Related consequences included altered menstrual flow, probable reduced fertility, and possible contributions to opioid-associated depression. Now, this is for non-malignant pain, so these would be usually younger, healthier women than I deal with. So this is interesting, and I'm going to learn something from this today. So thank you all for bringing that up.
Excellent.
I probably knew it at one point, but I just forgot. All right, let's see. What else do we have? Let's do this one.
Hey, Doc. It's Zach from Oklahoma. I hope you and Dr. Scott are doing well.
We are. And Tacy's here,
got
too.
Got a question for the both of you. Maybe one of you can help me out. All my life, I've had horrible sinuses.
Okay.
I have a bad problem with allergies. I have a deviated septum, which doesn't help. I get bad sinus infections. Ever since I was in high school, I've always used Flonase nasal spray, and it's helped out a lot. At night, though, I have a real problem at night with my sinuses swelling up. You know, they'll close off, and there's nothing in there. There's no snot or anything, and they just swell up. I use Breathe Right nasal strips, which help get me to sleep, but I'll wake up at night, and, you know, they'll just be closed up, and then I'll, you know, it'll kind of go away, and then it'll come back, and, you know, I'll have to breathe through my mouth, and my mouth will be real dry and stuff, and I don't know what's going on. And some nights, it'll be totally fine. Yeah. You know, I won't get that at all. And my question is, like, what's happening to make it do that, and then sometimes not do it?
Nope.
He needs surgery. That was my life before I had it taken care of.
Yeah, Tacy had a concha bullosa, which is something a little different than this. But
I had a deviated septum, too. It looked like a train wreck in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And deviated septum, you can sometimes diagnose them just by hearing somebody talk. I diagnosed Carl from WATP. And, you know, my name on his Discord is Carl's Deviated Septum. He said, how did you know I had a deviated septum? I said, well, I can hear it.
Yeah.
It's so amazing having that surgery. You just wouldn't believe what it's like to actually breathe. Like, I feel like I could take a Mack truck up my nose. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
So it may be that he may need a sleep study. There's stuff he may need, but I would see an ear, nose, and throat doc, or at least let your primary care look up there, tell him the same story you told us, and let him look in there. If they see a deviated septum, it's really easy. You know, the septum's just that thing that goes... you know, that divides the right nostril from the left one, and it's supposed to go straight back. And in some people, it varies wildly. It's like an S shape. So even if it's wide open in the front on the left, it's going to be closed on the back because the septum makes this sort of serpentine shape. And so that needs, that can be fixed. And you don't have to live this way. And I speak from experience.
Wash your nose out with some.
Go ahead. Give yourself
spray.
A plug.
Little Simply Herbals nasal spray. Wash it out.
Go to Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net and check that out.
If everything else is normal and you're healthy,
then
do that.
So, Dr. Scott, you had a question from the...
Chat room.
Yeah, so we call it the waiting room, sir.
The best so question stupid. Of the day from Richard.
Okay.
Are we coming to New York anytime soon?
So this is Richard Kish.
Richard Kish, correct.
Okay, so... Richard is a weirdo, just like I am, and he likes King Crimson and Prague music, Prague rock man. And back in the 70s, he would have been right there with me spinning, you know, Tales, all four sides of Tales from Topographic Oceans and all that stuff. So, but he's a good guy, so we have some stuff in common. And we would love to come. What I hear is Manhattan's a shithole, so tell us that it's not, and we'll come.
Yeah.
Because I remember Manhattan at its greatest moment, and, you know, it's I just don't want to see it in a diminished form. Yeah. And I also don't want to get mugged in Times Square. So, I mean, we usually, if we go to 103... we usually stay at the Marriott right off of Times Square, and then we can walk. It's just a block to the SiriusXM studio, maybe a block and a half. And so, you know, that I would love to do that. I've been listening to Jim and Sam. You know, they found their voice. I'm really enjoying listening to them on the road. I just been so long since I've been on the road long enough to listen to them. So I would love to go back and do that. And I'm very comfortable with them. They're both friends, you know.
Hey,
one
last quickie.
So, yes, we'll work on that.
Yeah, I'd love to go. I love Manhattan. Last quickie, Colin Carnes, seems like everyone has a mild or mid-afternoon slump fatigue. What can cause worsening fatigue in the afternoon? Seems like around 2 p.m.
Yeah, no
and of course,
shit.
And, of course, everybody after that says, same here.
Well, so, that's when I was driving home. I took modafinil today around 2 o'clock, and I almost fell asleep driving. So that's real common, and... Go ahead, Taze.
I used to feel that way until I got my thyroid figured out.
Well, that's true.
Now I don't feel that way at all. I wonder if that could be a testosterone issue. I mean, that could be a medical thing.
Yep. It could be. That's could the be. Thing. So there, we have these diurnal rhythms, meaning that they go by the clock, you know, night, day type things. That's why when you have a cold, you feel worse as the sun is going down. And more heart attacks happen at 6 in the morning when people's cortisol starts kicking back in and stuff like that. In part, it is physiological. You know, this normal circadian cycle, you know, dictates this sort of period of sleepiness in the afternoon. And it may go back to caveman days where people just, they just did that because it was hot. There was no game, so it was a good time to sleep was in the heat of the afternoon. And we may still be carrying some of that. Those diurnal rhythms that were created by our distant ancestors. But Tacy's right. Sleep disorders, medical disorders. I have a sleep disorder. Stress, insufficient sleep, poor eating habits. My blood sugar was low because I hadn't had anything to eat today.
He never eats.
I didn't eat or drink anything today until, what time was that? Like 2 o'clock. So that's stupid and effed up. So, you know, I've got to do better in that. But part of it is these damn Invisaligns. You can't eat with them in. And if you're on the road and you eat something, then you can't put them back in again. You got to brush your teeth, or you're just taking food and just cramming it between the tooth and the fucking Invisalign. And that's just disgusting. So, you know, anyway. Enough about me.
Enough about you.
Well, and may I also add that that is one of the reasons that One of my formulas, fatigue reprieve, is that's why I developed fatigue reprieve, was for those afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, sure is.
Well, you know what? By God, yeah, we'll do an N of one. Yep. If you'll bring some over there, because that was GVAC's favorite thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's one. I took some Monday. We had the worst day here Monday. It was, you know, cold, wet, rainy, and just yucky.
It was awful.
Yeah, Monday afternoon, everybody was like, oh, I feel like shit. So our whole office took the fatigue reprieve.
Okay. Yeah. And what did they say?
I felt wonderful.
Of course.
Of course. It's magic.
Fucking placebo.
I made it. Hey, who cares if it's a placebo? It works. Mm-hmm. It works.
I'm not saying. That's right. I didn't mean to say fucking placebo in a pejorative sense. If that's what it is, that's even better, because you're not really doing anything physiologic to your system. It's healing itself.
Yep.
I think the placebo, that's great. I mean, anything that will cause your body to heal itself is great. And if you can do it without any drug, using a placebo, I'm cool with that. Just don't say it's something else.
No, exactly.
Now, I'm not saying you are. I'm not talking about you in this case. Yep. Yep. So I know. So, it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it's 4:20 somewhere, Dr. Steve. You gonna play one?
Yeah, we'll play some music, and this will be just for the people in the chat room. Yep. For everybody else, we can't forget Dr. Scott. Tacy, thank you very much for being here. We can't forget Rob Spratz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ovcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Howdy Gooplunk, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Whore, the Saratoga Skank, the Florida Floozy, the St. Pete Barkeep Blower, Percy Dumb, Roland Campo, Sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, She Who Owns Pigs and Snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Christopher Watkins, Double Steve Tucci, the Great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Cardiff Elect, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Carl's Deviated Septum, producer Chris, Jenny Jingles, Gary from San Diego, the inimitable
Vincent Paulino, everybody,
Eric Zane, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's Daughter, Ron Bennington, of course, our dear departed friends GVAC and Fez Watley, whose support of the show never went unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, Sirius Channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners, whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other craps. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.